with Sharon Kay. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way.
This is Congressman Jim Cooper. When I want to know what the 411 is, I listen to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Well, thank you so much. And I mean that for real. Hey, Nashville, what's up in the city? We hope that your day is going in the direction you want it to go in. And that you can focus so you can get home, you know, when quitting time comes. You want to be able to get up out of there and move it, move it, move it. Anyway, it is a beautiful Wednesday in the city. Commander Chuck is going to let us know how it's looking out there on the roads. And there's no sense in even wondering because you all that live here, you know by now that we're gridlocked in the city. This was our worst nightmare. Like, you remember, you know, you've been on this program with me for some years. It seemed like every bit of every year that this has, we've been talking about gridlock.
Yeah, that's true.
We were predicting it on the show. And, because this show has been on the air since 2001. And it came true. It really did.
That's true.
Wow. Well, is it funny how things turn out? Well, maybe one day we'll get it straight and, you know.
That's true.
Maybe when our grandkids take over or something, you know. Anyway, we have on deck and on duty today a lot of information as usual and two books today. Because, you know, I like my books. Mm-hmm. I read, amen. And, So take that one and throw it in the trash can. There goes another myth crushed. Books are not dead. Coming up after traffic, we're having a new author, brand new book out. And this one is entitled One Night in Georgia, a novel by best-selling author Celeste O. Norfleet. She is author of more than 30 critically acclaimed novels. And we're happy to have her on today. Maybe some of you all are familiar with Miss Norfleet's work. She is also an award-winning author. And this particular book today is based on August of 1968. And it's going to be kind of interesting here with the twists and turns and things in it. And at the end of a sweltering summer shaped by the tragic assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy, race riots, political protests, and the heightened prominence of the Black Power movement, three co-eds from New York City pack into one of their Ford Fairlane. Well, that's a classic car right there. A 68 Ford Fairlane, and they are on their way to Atlanta for their last year at Spelman College. There's a story in there. So the ladies will be hearing about their story from best-selling author Celeste O. Norfleet. And next hour in the studio is one of Nashville's own, Dr. Herman J. Williams, and He is an author as well as a trained professional in healthcare, longtime professional and consultant, speaker, etc. His book is entitled Clear and Living the Life You Didn't Dream Of. Excuse me. So we got a lot to cover for you today. Now, tomorrow is Election Day.
It sure is.
If you didn't early vote, y'all know tomorrow. No excuses. No excuses. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Hit the polls. And when you get there, you know, pack your patience. Don't be, you know, wigging and a tripping in case, you know, the line's not moving fast as you want it to, because you know how we get if we don't get things in a speedy zip manner. And this is important to Nashville. You early voted, right?
I did.
And was it, aren't you glad you did it?
I'm always glad that I early vote because I want to go ahead and get it out of the way.
That's true. So nothing can stop you. But the election day tomorrow, important election for Nashville, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. the polls. And please take your photo ID with you. You need to have that. Or, excuse me, that is issued by federal or Tennessee state government, unless exceptions apply. You do not have to present your voter registration card to vote unless. And this is information I'm reading from the Election Commission. Election Day locations, you know, they're all over. Schools and different places all over. And you can find your location if you're new, never voted here, don't know. You can go online to nashville.gov/vote and you'll see the area that's closest to you. And now some people are going to have this issue that moved.
That's right, always, and did not update their information.
Well, since the last time, maybe they have. Maybe they could have moved in from somewhere else to here. If you have moved within Davidson County and not updated your address, you know, you couldn't. You could have early maybe gotten that done. But if you waited till tomorrow, go to your new polling location where you can change your address and you can vote there. So be sure to go to nashville.gov/vote, and then that'll tell you where to go. But don't let any excuses come. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. How you think it's going to go?
Someone will win.
Well, or there'll be in a runoff.
I think.
You think it's going to be a runoff?
From what I'm looking at, it's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. I haven't heard anyone really say either way, but in my opinion, it looks like it's between Mayor Briley and probably Mr. Cooper. Mm-hmm. So I think those are going to be the two
that might closest. End up going head to head.
Yeah. If there's a runoff, then that's probably not good for the current mayor.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Guess he's the current mayor.
But, you know, that might not mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, because then it's, the field will be thinned out. And, you know, the people who were for the other candidates are, you know, might move over to, you know, you don't know where they're going to move to.
That's true. But if they didn't vote, if the people who didn't vote for the mayor, they're, and may have caused it to be a runoff, then why won't they vote for him?
Well,
next time.
Maybe, and you know, as we say at the house, lesser two evils, you know.
Oh, you see what that.
No, I didn't see. I know what I mean, like that, but I'm just saying,
right.
You know. You know, it just depends, because in their mind, that might be what they're thinking.
That phrase will forever be tied to the current president. And boy, were
there
we
is
wrong.
No lesser with him. Okay,
that's right.
It's just the evils. There is no lesser with that particular situation. So let me shut down the vote tomorrow and move into talking about. Did you watch the debates last night?
I did.
And?
I am very disappointed in the Democratic Party. I think the only highlight that I saw that really got me excited was the talk about reparations, and I should have written her name down, but she has studied that issue back and forth, and she
Marianne Williamson.
Marianne Williamson. I was very impressed.
You should have wrote it down.
Her.
She said reparations, yeah. And you didn't even know her name.
I was paying attention.
Well, you're not a good black person if you don't know that. Come on, Axe. I mean, know your people.
But I think she spoke to it in a way that lets me know that she's serious. Mm. And it's not just a talking point. But other than that, I just feel as though that the field is weak, at least last night. And they seem timid. They seem scared. They seem... You know, like, why are you running?
Well, you know? Now my take is a little bit different than that. I don't think they seem timid and scared. One of the things I wish they would have done was focus solely, wholly, totally, and solely on the current president.
And that's my point.
And not spend
time was my point.
On any other, you know, they did better this time than they did last time.
That's my point.
But what ends up happening is if the moderator is pitching these questions, they either have to answer the question or always end it in, you know, getting rid of him. Yeah. I mean, there's.
I don't want to see them argue with each other. I want to see them explain and debunk.
You don't want to see it, but people that like hell raising totally want to see it.
Because it makes no sense to me.
That's what this country thrives on.
Where we are right now, I'd rather see them go after the person in charge and make that what this is about.
Well, it should be, yes. Mm-hmm. That's the focus. That needs to be the focus.
Yeah. The focus. Talk about how he's trying to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. Talk about more about the people at the border being separated from. Talk about the things that they need to do to get the country back on track to where it needs to be instead of arguing with each other and let us decide, okay, which one of y'all sound like you really want to, you know, want this job.
Well, I hope that Kamala Harris and
Biden. I like her.
I hope they don't, and Corey, I hope they don't have this spat. They need to focus on
Trump.
On getting rid of the president who wants a race war. Because essentially at this point, there's nothing else that he can say except nigger and wetback.
Yep.
And that's the only thing left that he has not said. Okay?
Sure
that is the only thing left.
I'm sure there's
left.
A tape out there somewhere. Somewhere somebody's...
He just, just be rid of all people with color in them. So, you know, it's a lot of folk got to go in his mind. And although I do think he would keep Ben Carson.
Oh, of course.
I'll be the king.
Of course.
And that other preacher. The one
that with the beard and the slick hair. Yeah, him.
He would keep those three people. And the one that got invited to, what's his name's
wedding? Steve Harvey.
I don't know about Steve Harvey. I'm talking about the dude. Oh, he's a thing. The lady that got invited to the son's birthday, wedding party or something.
The wedding
planner. One black lady. Yeah, her.
Her, yeah.
He'd keep those four. And the rest of us, we would have to go.
And Omarosa.
She'd definitely have to go. She'd be on the first boat up out of there. Yeah. Okay. So other than that, everybody else of color would have to be gone. So, you know, I'm just, if that's not the case, then he needs to certainly, that zebra needs to change his stripes because his stuff been the same for decades and decades. And, you know, that situation in Baltimore and Trishan, those people, you know, there's some lovely people in that city and they don't deserve to be cut up and trashed up like that. And speaking of that, now isn't funny how things turn out. You know, I need to have a segment on the show called Funny How Things Turn Out. But it's not hard to find people who can relate to President Donald Trump's tweets that Baltimore is a rodent-infested mess. Just go to a few of the thousand of apartments in the area owned by his son-in-law's family. My Lord. Don't say he's a slumlord.
He's been a slumlord.
Jared Kushner's family real estate firm has been criticized for years for the same kind of disrepair and neglect of its properties that the president has been accusing local leaders of failing to address. My Lord, ain't it funny how things turn out? Residents have complained about mold, bed bugs, leeks, and yes, mice as big as pocketbooks. Plenty and plenty of fat mice. They say management appears in no hurry to fix the problems. Baltimore County officials say the Kirshner companies violated housing codes more than 200 times in 10 months in 2017 and only moved to fix the problem after being threatened with fines. Now, isn't it funny how things turn out? We are coming up on a traffic report here with Commander Chuck, and he's going to give us the update and let us know that, well, Chuck, you know, I keep dreaming. Every Wednesday I have this dream.
What's that dream?
The dream is that your traffic report is going to be less than 20 seconds because the traffic is just going to move so swiftly out of Nashville that you won't have hardly anything to say.
<That's funny. laughs> Do I go too long sometimes?
No, I'm not implying that. I'm just saying I have a dream. I mean, I just dream that one day it could happen, Chuck, okay? It might have to be when the Jetsons are around or something like that, and we could just, you know, get on our high hoverboards and hover on into the house. Anyway, are we looking like usual, the same spots that we always have the issues? How are we looking today, Chuck?
Thanks, Sharon. It is busy, right on schedule here at the South Loop, the West Loop, just trying to scramble and get out of downtown. At this particular moment, we're looking at two cars up against the wall here that just crashed. Talk about wrong place, wrong time. Here we go. 24 eastbound. It's between Bell Road and Hickory Hollow Parkway. Now, the reason why I sound like this is because traffic's already crazy enough headed out towards Murfreesboro. This time of the afternoon, all that outbound traffic on 24 east. Now people are just rubbernecking at this accident. It's not like a really bad wreck. They're just sitting there up against the wall. T-Dot and the police haven't got here yet. That's 24 East at just past Bell Road on this particular crash. A wreck in Madison just occurred on OHB and MacArthur, and traffic, of course, busy now on 65 up through Madison right now towards Vietnam Vets. This traffic report brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken, their south location, which is 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. To miss WFSK's Artist of the Week, you can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. This week's Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week is composer-pianist Cal Harris Jr. His latest release is entitled Soulful. Tune in during your lunch break to hear some prime cuts from the new release, an interview with the artist, plus you can win some brand new music. Don't miss the WFSK Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays, right here on Jazzy 88, Nashville's Jazz Station.
Here's a community reminder from listener-supported Jazzy 88.
What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? Instead of flying to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? Like a village in Botswana or a tiny island in the Pacific where needs are easy to see? What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I got smart about mortgages. Now, it's my house I go home to.
I got smart about college.
Now my kid's off to a great start.
When it comes to your money, whatever you want to get smart about, you can find it at smartaboutmoney.org.
I got smart about health insurance. Now both my finances and I are healthy.
Smartaboutmoney.org is a free online resource from the National Endowment for Financial Education. We're an independent nonprofit foundation dedicated to helping people just like you get sound information about money.
I got smart about protecting my job. Now, I'm doing better than ever.
For everything from how to build an emergency fund to how to deal with job uncertainty, smartaboutmoney.org has the answers you're looking for.
I got smart about credit cards. Now paper or plastic has a whole new meaning.
Smartaboutmoney.org, the easy place to start when you want to get smart.
Jazzy 88 on your radio. Jazzy 88, so smooth, smooth and contemporary.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And just a quick reminder to you that What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This hour's book, and it's always good to meet new authors over the phone and chat with them about their latest work, is considered one of the 17 best summer reads of 2019. One Night in Georgia. Sounds almost like Rainy Night in Georgia. But I just felt music when I read that. let me introduce the author, and that is best-selling author Celeste O. Norfleet. She has written more than 30 critically acclaimed novels, and we are happy to have her with us today, as well as being the recipient of numerous awards. So, Celeste, how are you today?
I'm great, Sharon. How are you? Thank you so much for inviting me. This is an absolute pleasure to be on your show.
Oh,
thank you. Definitely.
Well, you know, I have a reputation for interviewing authors.
Ooh, and I like that.
Yes, I know the authors love Sharon Kay. Now they do.
Now don't start.
Well, it's just, you know, along when I started the show, and, you know, 18 years ago, I just took that route. You know, God says so. So I'm like, I'm following what you said. So,
thank you. And it's well appreciated. Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank you for doing what you do.
Definitely.
You're a blessing. You're truly a blessing.
Thank you. And you are in Virginia?
I'm in Northern Virginia, right outside of D.C.
Okay. Are you guys experiencing, you know, we're ready for the elections to get over with and all that?
I don't know what we're experiencing, but I sure will be happy when this nightmare is over.
I know, that's right. Now, see, that could be a whole nother book for you.
I know. But who would believe it? I mean, really.
That's true. You're right. You are absolutely correct about that. Now, Celeste, can you spend a moment before we talk about your current, in case some folks, you know, may have some of your other titles or your popular books, and so they can be clear on who we're speaking to today?
Sure. I'm Celeste O. Norfleet. I am a romance writer. Mm. I have been a romance writer for a very long time, almost 20 years now. Mm. My first novel, Priceless Gift, was released from BET Books in 2002, and I've written long romances, short romances, anthologies, young adult novels, and this is my first women's fiction historical.
Oh.
I am very proud of this novel.
Okay. Now, how much of, you know, I always ask the historic novelist percentage, how much of this is reflected in their own life or actually true?
Nice step into my life a couple of times, but it's fiction. It's 100% fiction.
Okay.
But I've pulled a couple of things out of my life, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a writer, you have to.
Of course.
You have to.
Well, I was wondering about, going to college and the three young ladies and all that. Is that based on you?
No.
Okay.
No, that came from a dream. I guess that is me. Huh.
Okay, wow.
But I dreamt the novel, which I've done a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah, I had the entire novel was my dream.
Wow.
I woke up, and the book is so unlike me, because I'm a happily ever after person, that romance. But to have such a powerful dream and to have the characters so strong and dynamic, it took the life out of me. I mean, just sort of drained me. I couldn't believe I had dreamt something that's just amazing.
Yeah.
And I had no intention of writing that because it just wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea, the plot, it just wouldn't leave me alone. Mm-hmm. It just stayed with me. So I wrote the synopsis, and it just flowed from there.
Mm. Well, the story, and your book cover and a lot of the twists and turns in here just are so almost like eerie, like today, almost, some of it, historically speaking. I mean, things haven't
changed. I know, but what the scary thing is? That it does resemble 1968.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in 2007 and 2019, mm-hmm. and that's wrong. A lot of that stuff is just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. To see it all over again.
And we just so hope that those would be things of the past, and but it does look like history's going to repeat itself, but at least we learned it the first time, y'all. Okay, we should not have to repeat this again ever.
I know definitely I totally agree. Yeah. But here it is, knocking on our door one
true.
More time.
You were right. Now this story begins in with the main character, and that would be Zelda
Livingston.
Okay.
There are actually three main characters, but one stands out a bit more, and that would be Zelda Livingston.
Okay.
She is the first person you meet,
mm-hmm.
and the story is basically from her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So there are three ladies: Zelda Livingston, Daphne Brooks, and mm-hmm. Veronica Cook,
mm-hmm.
And they're seniors going down to Spelman College.
Mm-hmm.
So they're leaving from New York to drive down, and in a red Fairlane Ford Fairlane convertible.
That can't get more attention than that.
I know. Talk about a bullseye, right?
Yes. Oh, wow.
But along the way, they run into some trouble, but they also pick up a passenger, Daniel, and he becomes Zelda's love interest. So it's a good book. It's a very good book.
Okay, now let me go into, I'm going to go into a couple of the chapters with you, because
okay,
I want to, I like to, as the audience is driving home, I like to give them something to think about in the car, do some visualizing.
Okay.
Now, in chapter 4, you write, in Newark, the radio station audio went static. Of course, I'm going to pick up on that because this
all right.
is... I'm like, I wonder what... Because, when it goes to static, we just get all messed up in our heads in this business. You're like, oh,
right.
Something's wrong.
Right.
Lord. Veronica turned the radio off, and we rolled in silence. What was going on?
They're just leaving out of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not D.C. They're just leaving out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Zelda had a situation that with her mother, a confrontation with her mother, and it didn't end well.
Mm.
So she's still got that on her heart.
Mm.
And the other girls are not quite sure where this is, what to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to make, hopefully have her be a, more into going, because she really didn't want to go on this trip.
Mm.
Because she is the person who has the cautionary tale, black people just cannot drive down south. I mean, this is her warning to them. You can't go. You can't go. We can't go.
Right.
And then she decides that, you know what? I'm going with you.
Hmm.
So she does decide at the very last moment to go with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this really bad argument with her mother. And she gets in the car. They mm-hmm. don't even say goodbye. She mm-hmm. just leaves.
Wow. Was her mother upset? Was her mother scared for her?
Definitely. The mother was scared for her. Also, there's a little conflict back and forth between the mother and daughter because Zelda was a daddy's girl. And daddy was killed right in front of Zelda's, basically in front of her eyes.
Oh, my God.
And it is the anniversary, the five-year anniversary of the father's murder. And apparently mom did not remember.
Mm.
So mom and Zelda aren't really doing well right now.
Oh, so she was mad at her mama.
Yes, she was. She's very upset with her mother.
Lord.
So that did not send the girls off on a great beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get to Newark, Zelda still has that inside of her, and it's still, like, you know, pulling at her. So as they travel on, she sort of lets go a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still very tense because, you know, ideally she really doesn't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be with them. And she has all plans of, when they get to D.C., talking them out of going further south.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe telling them or convincing them mm-hmm. to hop on a train and go south from D.C. down into Georgia. Because it really wasn't safe. No, they stopped making the Green Book, but it was still needed.
Mm.
I believe they stopped making the Green Book in 1962 or 64,
mm-hmm.
but it was still around, and it was still well needed.
Mm. Now, what's a Green Book?
The Negro Green Book. It was the book that...
Oh, told you what to do and not to do. Okay, oh, that book.
Where
okay.
to go, where not. Well, actually, not really where not to go, just basically where to go.
Yeah.
To be safe.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know what happened. I just knew.
Oh, yeah. It was very needed. It was definitely very needed.
No, I didn't know it had a, you know, I was just like.
The Motorist, yes. Yeah, it's actually called the Motorist Green Book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, because I know. Were you born in around this time?
I was born in 59.
Okay.
So I was a young kid.
Okay.
But I was aware of, I have two older sisters. As a matter of fact, two of my sisters are probably listening in because they live in Antioch, Tennessee.
Get out of here.
Right outside of Nashville,
well,
yeah.
No wonder you're so happy to do this.
I don't know if they're listening to tell you the truth. I hope they are. I let them know.
Well,
but,
they need to support sister. Yeah, well, go ahead and give them a shout out.
Oh, okay. There's Karen, my sister's 2 years older than me, Karen Linton. And hi, Karen.
Hey,
and Karen. Then there's my sister Amanda, who's older than both of us. And that's Amanda Mitchell and her husband, Butch.
All right.
William Mitchell, Butch, we call him Butch, but Amanda and William Mitchell and Karen Linton. Hey.
Okay, see, that's how we do it, okay? You can't say you have relatives in Antioch and you
know,
can't do
I
a
gotta,
shout
I gotta
out.
Throw my
Come
people
on.
Up there.
Lord.
Hey, and we, you know what? When we have a three-way conversation, and that's what it's basically the three of us left on my side of the family.
Yeah.
When we have a three-way conversation, that's our family reunion like every other weekend. Hey!
Well, we, and if in case they didn't get to tune in,
mm-hmm.
You know, on their radios or whatever, they maybe can listen online at WFSKFM.org.
Oh, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
Or they can go, because we're recording this for the podcast, and
oh,
it'll
cool.
be on... my website, and when you get opportunity.
Oh, I've seen the website. It's wonderful.
Well, I need to update them photos and get to looking all. I need to zhuzh up a little bit. I'm like,
oh, no, you working it. Don't call me. You working it.
Well, you know, I just feel like, Lord, you got to constantly do filters and stuff. Constantly.
Transitioning. You got to keep transitioning.
But And since I have two sisters, I totally get it. I really honestly do.
Oh, yeah.
And is that did you dream the three characters, or you, is that kind of sort of based on that, you know, you have two of your own?
No. I definitely jumped through the three characters. But one thing from the book that is directly from my life is a scene with Zelda and Daniel saving some kids in the water. Mm-hmm. The kids are drowning in the Cape May water. They're over by a part in the rip in the water, and a Riptide comes and sort of sweeps them off their feet and pulls them out. So that's not a good situation. So Zelda and Daniel swim out and save the kids.
Yeah.
And that is from my life.
Oh, wow. Well, let's find out about that on the other side. You know, I love the details.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's my intrigue. Y'all know how I do. Anyway, it is so good to have this author and this book on today, because it her book is one of the 17 best summer reads of 2019, according to Harper's Bazaar. And we know they know. So that's really fabulous. And it is entitled One Night in Georgia, the novel. And before we close up shop at the top of the hour, your publisher sent a couple of extra books for us to give away to our listening audience.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, yeah, because we like to encourage reading on the broadcast. So if you guys want to read and stuff, you know, I got you. It's been a while since I've given away books, because we were getting stacked up in here and y'all weren't picking them up. So I had to stop for a while. But we have some of these copies here to give. And it's such a great read that I know many of you that love the historical novels will enjoy this one. Let's take a quick time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's busy out here now off the South Loop, the West Loop. Two cars up against the wall here on 24 eastbound, closer to Hickory Hollow Parkway. Now, that's just adding to the slowdown on 24 as you leave Nashville, headed out to Murfreesboro. It's busy to the north, 65, as you work your way up through Madison right now towards Vietnam Vets. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
On the next Jazz Night in America, we explore two sides of Mark Giuliano's brain with two different bands from two hemispheres of the globe. From swing to rock to electronic music, the drummer paves the way for a new kind of jazz.
Emotionally, when I'm playing with both projects, I'm playing from the same place.
That's next time on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m., and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Body glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And our book this afternoon, this hour, is One Night in Georgia, the novel. And we're happy to have Celeste O. Norfleet with us And we want to go to the phone line. There is a caller who wants to make a comment. This is Linda, right?
Yes, this is. How are you today, Sharon?
I'm just excellent. You know, I'm always happy when I can talk to the wonderful people. So what's going on with you today?
Oh, gosh. I was listening to your station while I'm driving home and heard the author and the new book. And I'm ready to get on home and look her up and learn much more about her so I can start reading some of the old books and the new one. Yes. I'm excited.
Oh, yes. She's written, what, 30 books?
Over 35 books.
Yes.
Wow. Well, hey, great. Thank you. I love a good book and a good story. Well, so I can't wait to go online.
Well, you be sure to, when I'm going to be calling for folks to call in and win some of her, you know, I got her book here with me. And, you know, be sure to keep us on so you can call back.
Okay.
Okay?
I will. And thank you for your time,
welcome.
Sharon. Hey, a shout out to 88.1.
That's it, WFSK.
Baby.
That's it. That is it. Thank you, Linda.
All right.
All right. You
bye
have a good
now.
Day. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank
I have the best, this station, I mean, we just have the best people, and that's all it is.
All right.
They just are. And, you know, I've been around this bush, this mulberry bush, for a long time, and I'm grateful for the listeners. I am absolutely grateful.
All right. Wonderful. It's great to hear from her. Definitely.
Yes, absolutely. So she, the people that listen to this show, Celeste, they will look you up and be on your stuff online. Okay, that's what they do.
Wonderful. That is
they,
so great.
They are not just saying
that. You know what?
That, huh?
We support each other in all things.
Oh,
we support each other.
Absolutely. Now, couple of things I wanted to mention. You gave that story about that was true when you were growing up.
Right.
And tell us a little bit more about what happened.
My brother, my sister, and I, we went on vacation with my dad and my mom to Atlantic City. And kids playing in the water, the three of us, we played in the water. We got in a little bit too deep, and a riptide literally pulled us out into the ocean.
Mm.
And we were going under three, four different times.
Mm.
There was a giant, slimy, algae-covered metal pipe in the sort of jutting out, just like I described in the book.
Mm.
And we were rescued by a couple of lifeguards.
Mm.
So it was a scary thing. And I do try to put some things from my life in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought back really bad memories when I was writing it down.
Definitely.
Because as many times as I've had swimming lessons, I still can't swim because I just can't get out of my head.
Wow.
That Atlantic City moment.
Yeah. That stuff really does, you know, in situations we go through, really do imprint our brains. You know that?
It really, truly, it really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
It's awful. Now, is that what you're describing, is that in Chapter 5?
No, I believe that's in Chapter 6, if
okay.
I'm not mistaken.
So I'm on my way. I was on my way there. Okay, because I want to back into 5. You know, there's so much of this stuff here that I see in 5. I'm like, this might as well be today. I mean, you know, this man at the beach and, you know, acting like.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He hates black folk and all that. You know, I mean, I was like,
the boldness of it, the audacity of it. It's right back at us.
Lord have mercy. Okay, so, and in from 6, I want to go over to, because I had some sections marked that are exciting here.
Okay.
Chapter 8. I yielded Veronica and I headed to the party a little before 9 o'clock. Who is Daniel?
Daniel is their traveling companion, who Zelda isn't too fond of right now.
Where'd she find him at?
Well, Zelda's mother, which is another reason why her mother and her aren't exactly best buds.
Mm-hmm.
Zelda's father was killed, and 6 months later, the mother remarried.
Mm.
And the man she married is not exactly, let's call him a con man.
Mm.
So he finds out, his name is Darnell. Darnell finds out that the girls are going to Cape May, so he tells them that he's going to send one of his friend's sons down there to escort them to Atlanta. And that's where Daniel comes in. Daniel is the son of Daniel's friend, of Darnell's friend. So he's the one that, actually, he and Zelda are the ones that jump into the water and save the two kids drowning when they're in Cape May. But he joins them in Cape May, and he becomes, you know, he becomes very central to the plot after a while.
So I figured that because I kind of eased in. I was like, where did he come from?
Oh, you'll hear more about Daniel.
I'm certain.
Oh yeah.
Okay, now as we move into chapter 10. Tell us how far along in the trip are the girls?
Okay, I am at chapter 10 now.
Page 111.
Yeah. Okay, they just arrived in DC. And they're at a point as they're driving through D.C. where things are still quite, I want to say messed up to be nice, but this is just a few months after Martin Luther King was assassinated. So after the riots in D.C., the place still, the streets of D.C. still aren't back to where they were before. So it's still like a hum of trouble in the air. So they're just heading into D.C. because that's where Zelda actually lives. Now, her mother, she, you know, she grew up in New York, but she lives with her aunt and uncle in Washington, D.C. So they're going to Washington, D.C. to make a quick stop, and then they're going to head further south. But this is where Zelda wants to talk the girls into, hey, let's catch a train and not drive down south the rest of the way. Of course, that doesn't happen.
And also, I did, you know, I was kind of reminiscent of some stuff from back in the day when I guess it was the uncle that, you know, told them about the different routes to take and, you know, stay off that road.
Oh, sure. God, that sounds familiar. Oh, yeah.
You about to have to do that now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know. Definitely. When they do decide to leave and go further south in the car, they're definitely roads you can't take.
Oh, and it still is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Some stuff has not changed one iota in this country.
Which is scary. Yeah. This is a book of fiction. How is it still going on?
And that's the question. That would be the question. And, you know, because that, when I did just a little quick check on the book, and I was like, holy smokes, this is so, you know, that's why I wanted to know the percentage of what was based on real and, you know, because it just seems like it is absolutely repeating itself.
Yeah,
day
I did
after
a lot
day.
Of, yeah, I did a lot of research, Sharon, and it's just the more research I did, it just looked like I was just ripping it out of the newspapers from 2019.
No question about it. Now the girls, they were. I guess I should ask you in this: where'd they meet? Were they in the neighborhood together? Went to high school together?
No, they actually met on a train ride going to Spelman College for the first time 3 years earlier. So the three of them, Zelda lives in Harlem, and the other two, Daphne and Veronica, live in Long Island. So they caught the train down to Spelman College for the first time when they were freshmen, and they met on the train, and they just sort of hooked up. And they've been best friends ever since. And they decided that in their senior year, they were going to drive down. That was one of the promises they made to themselves. So when Daphne and Veronica show up in this car, they show up to Zelda's house. they're ready to drive down, and that's why she's like, oh, no, 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 that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But they did promise each other that this is what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. They also promised that they're going to backpack across Europe and drive a Volkswagen Beetle or a Volkswagen van across the country, but I don't know if that's going to happen yet or not.
So the story does continue. Now, in Chapter 13, they made it out of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
They've already gone through that East Coast, and now they're turning into the South.
Yeah.
Big time. In North Carolina.
And yeah.
What was going on as they head toward closer to Georgia?
They ran, well, they sort of like sped through North Carolina, or sped through South Carolina, because they ran into a sundown town, which means that blacks were not welcome in a town after sundown.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that was a frightening experience for them, because these are girls from the North. And, you know, a lot of people say that, oh, no, 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 that didn't happen. Yeah, it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
There were sundown towns.
Mm-hmm.
And what scares me is that I just use the word were as in past tense.
Are.
So they basically are still heading toward Georgia at this point.
Hmm. Okay, so I hear the music. That means I got to get on to the point here. Okay, let me go. Because, you know, I'm all in the details. I'm like, mm-hmm. See, that's
all
what I'm
details.
Saying. I'm like, okay, let's see. Now, on chapter 21, I jumped up.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you
okay.
hear that? Someone screamed. We listened intently to the silence for a few moments, but didn't hear anything. Lay back, Daniel said. It was just a bad dream. What was going on?
What was going on is that the girls met up with one of their sorority sisters in just inside of Georgia, the Georgia state line, when the car is being fixed. And they stay over that night. They celebrate Maisie's birthday. That's the young friend of theirs. They celebrate her birthday. And a young man comes back to the house with them.
Mm.
And Maisie gets herself in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is starting to beat on Maisie.
Mm.
So that was Maisie screaming.
Mm. Mm.
So then it gets really bad because somebody dies and one of the girls is holding a gun.
What? Now, see, that's there goes cliffhanger, y'all. She's holding the gun. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, one of the girls is holding the gun.
And they're in Forsyth County by then. Oh, Lord.
Oh, you know it.
Oh, my God. Help us, Lord.
Forsyth County, Georgia.
Oh, my God. Help us, Lord. Ooh-wee. Okay, and I'm not going to say no more about it, see. You know, I'm just going to leave it right there.
Okay.
Yeah, because they need to go get the book.
They do. Definitely. Please.
Yes.
Please pick up the book. It will not disappoint. It will not disappoint.
No. You was in the car with them, weren't you, in your mind, next? She was
there. Well, I've been to Forsyth County, Georgia.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know,
yeah,
just
so
the
I know.
Thought of this
yeah.
one, she put the... There's yeah. a lot. I see why this is one of the best, 17 best summer reads of 2019.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Well, you dreamed it. It came just to life like crazy. It's beautiful, Celeste. I love what you've done.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Now, tell the audience where your book is available and all that stuff. And, you know, are you on tour right now? What's going on?
Actually, I am leaving out tomorrow. I am headed to the National Book Club Conference in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do a little talk on Friday. I'm not sure what time yet. But I'm going to talk about my journey as a writer.
Uh-huh.
That's on Friday, so that's exciting. This is my first time going to the National Book Club Conference in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm.
And the book is on sale at the HarperCollins website,
mm-hmm.
on Amazon, at your local bookstore.
Uh-huh.
If they don't have it, you tell them to get it in.
Yes.
So the book is everywhere. So by all means, pick it up. Pick it up.
Definitely. And, you know, from the author of One Night in Georgia is going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
That is beautiful. Well,
I'm heading to Georgia.
Oh, yes. Well, I hope that, and also, what's your website and all that kind of stuff?
My website is CelesteOnNorfleet.com. My name, CelesteOnNorfleet.com.
Excellent. Celeste, this has really been such a joy, and I'm going to be watching for your other books because, you know, clearly you can't write 30-plus books and be one of the summer best reads and not be the bomb.
Oh, Sharon, you are the best. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Have a good rest of the day.
You too now.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Be sure to support her and this wonderful book. Just Harper's Bazaar wouldn't tell you you were one of the 17 best in the summer if you weren't. Okay? I'm just saying. Now, I got a couple of copies of it I want to give away because the publisher was kind enough to do what we ask. And One Night in Georgia. And if you want a copy of her book, please call me now. 615-329-8810. 615-329-8810. We're going to give away copies of her book at 615-329-8810. Now, let's go get our news. Ron's on deck and on duty, and then we'll be back on the other side. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.